Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, good evening, Remnant, and welcome to Hope is Alive. Today is April 19, 2017, and we thank you for tuning in. It promises to be a most interesting broadcast. I'm looking forward to it. Good evening, Brother Ralph. I tell you, I'm just missing buttons today. Let's try it again. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. Can you hear me now?
I can. It's just amazing if you hit the right buttons here. Regardless of whether the system's down or not, but that's okay. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, and good evening to you there, Ralph, from Oklahoma.
Yeah, beautiful spring day. Well, Ralph, I'll turn it over to you, and we'll be listening in.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the program Hope is Alive. We're your hosts here, Pastor Cox and Ralph. And, Pastor, before we get started, we've had a lot of confusion and seen some technical problems, and I think the Holy Spirit discerned with me this is more than just technical problems. This is a spiritual thing. This has been a very important date in our nation's history. Being April 19th, a lot of wicked and evil things have been done on this date. Of course, you probably, I don't know, living there may realize this is the anniversary of Oklahoma City bombing. We've had the problems that many things have happened on this date in our history. Would you lead us in prayer coming against this evil that it seems the enemies of Christ have used as this day?
Yes, absolutely. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you again that you have given us, as your believers, all power over the enemy and the promise that nothing will harm us. So, Lord, we step forward using this power you've given us as Christians. And now with all power, we do break off any curses that have especially been put upon April 19th. We break them off, any satanic assignments that have been put out as well to steal, kill, and we rebuke all related spirits of the curses or the assignments. In Jesus' name, we rebuke them and we command them to go to the feet of Jesus. We declare victory here. We speak the living blood of Christ Jesus over all of us as listeners, not just here at Oklahoma City and what happened with the memorial building, but we declare this over all the listeners, over the land. For Jesus is Lord here. We declare it. We move in it. We enjoy the fruits thereof, the safety and the peace and the abundance that Jesus brought to us from the cross. Glory to the Lamb, Jesus.
Amen. Double amen right there. In agreement. In agreement.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, how'd things go this Monday?
Well, it was a good evening. We had, I believe it was 12, maybe 13. I haven't counted the ministry reports, but I remember there was 12 hands that went up when I asked who wanted ministry, and we had a minister for each person, and we spread around the church that we rent here in Oklahoma City, and it went very well. I ministered to a young man that, as he told me, all he'd known in his life was witchcraft. His grandparents were witches. His parents were witches. He, even though he was in that environment, the Lord apparently had a finger on him all this time because as he told me, he knew it was evil and he wanted to get away from it. And so he came for ministry last night, and it was quite awesome. He was truly reaching out. And, of course, any time a person reaches out to Jesus, our Jesus has his arms out to us. And that he met the prerequisite of reaching out. And so we got into ministry, went through the door-closing prayer and all, and it went very well. And I was not able to get a real good communication with the head demon. And by the way, the most important part, he came to Jesus, made Jesus the Lord of his life, and he's planning on getting a water baptism. So praise God. That was the most exciting, of course, of all.
Praise the Lord.
And he yawned the spirits out. Everyone has different MOs. and he yawned them out. At one point, about halfway through, I said, "Do you normally sit around and yawn like this?" He said, "Well, no, I don't yawn like this." And I said, "Well, these are demons coming out as you're yawning." He was so new to this, he didn't really recognize, even though I told it in the teaching. He seemed surprised that that was happening to him. But we went through, we finished up about 11 o'clock, and they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. And it was just a great evening. And I talked to him yesterday morning, doing great. In fact, he told me he now wants to go through our training starting next Monday. So praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Victory. We turned the tables on the enemy there for sure.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's an awesome testimony right there. And, you know, when you said reaching out was a prerequisite, what it made me think of was we have many roles with the Father, but one of them is the role of father and children. And it just makes me think when a child comes running out with his arms to you. That's one of the things I miss most about my children being young was when you would come home or they wanted something, how those arms would just be thrown up to you. And there's not an earthly father alive that would just push their child out of the way if they came running to him with their arms open, needing something. And we are created in our Heavenly Father's image, and that is exactly how I vision Him with us when we reach out. We reach out calling for that help, and the Word says, as my arm too short to be able to save and reach out, is my ear too dull that I can't hear. He's sitting there waiting for us to take that step. He's given us all the tools, all the authority to do it, but still, when we call out with our arms reaching out to our Father, is He going to turn us away? I mean, we ask for bread. He's not going to give us a scorpion. He's going to give us what we need, and that's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to help. And just praise the Lord, a man grown up and brought up in witchcraft has found the Lord, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, going to get water baptized, had all these demonic spirits left from him. He is going to be a fantastic tool for the kingdom because he's going to understand how witchcraft works. He's going to be, in my opinion, is going to be able to discern these things and be able to attack and be able to go to them with ferocity, because one of the best warfare is to know the tactics of your enemy, and he's going to know those tactics. He's going to recognize them, and I see you're going to have a valuable warrior there in your war room who's going to be able to absorb, discern, and to be able to show people things that you probably have not seen before.
Yes, and that's exactly what I told him yesterday, that he will have a particular insight because of his background in ministering, and he will be very valuable as one of our warriors that will tend to put him with anyone that's been into witchcraft like that. He can talk to them better than anyone else. He's been there. Amen.
Amen.
And I know what you mean about reaching out. I my kids all grew up, and then of course the grandkids did the same. It was such a joy when they'd have their arms out, and when they come over to visit, and they'd come rushing up, "Papa, Papa," with their arms out, and I'd pick them up and hold them, and they finally grew too big for that. But you know, with our Jesus, we're never too big. He's always there. And in the ministry Monday, Jesus spoke to him in the inner healing portions, and that was awesome as well. So I'm still on a high from that ministry session. Praise God.
Well, praise God. Well, speaking of trained warriors, we're going to have on here in a minute, we've got one of our brothers on. I'm waiting for the other one to come on for introduce him, but we're going to have two brothers who have gone through the training in Oklahoma City. They last time we were there back in mid-March, they had one of them had gone in on deliverance, the other one set in, and they have an interesting experience to tell. I'm kind of looking excited to this, because here we are, two long-standing members of the ministry, gone through deliverance, and we're able to, one was able to sit on the deliverance, the other was able to discern and go through, and this one brother, if I remember hearing correctly, I think he may have, and if I'm wrong on that, Brother Kyle, if you're here and if you're on yet or hearing me, correct me, it seems to me I thought maybe that I'd heard that he had went to school to study to be a lawyer, and that with that mind he has, legalistics, he's able to spot things within the demonic realm, because there is no doubt about it. These demons are legalists, and that would be a gift of training there. If I'm correct in what I heard, and if I'm wrong, I do apologize, but they are legalists, and understand the way the legalist mind works would also help you to be able to get things out quickly. So, I know, Brother David, I know you're on. Do we have Kyle there yet? I guess not. Well, we'll just wait on there. Brother David, are you there?
I'm here, Brother Ralph.
Good to hear from you. Good to hear from you. This is, most of you probably have met David from time to time in Branson. He's been a valuable member of the ministry. I think we have Kyle on right there. Kyle, are you there with us, brother?
Yes, sir. Good evening, okay. Gentlemen. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening. Does someone have a radio on? I'm hearing myself. Someone have a radio on?
Yes, I stopped outside.
Okay.
Well, David, and hi to you there, Kyle. Good to hear
you. Hello, how are you, Pastor Cox? Good to hear you, too.
Well, I'm blessed, and I know you are.
Oh, it's been fantastic, doing fantastic. Praise Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Well, as I was saying, these two gentlemen have, I believe, quite a story to tell. I'm looking forward to hearing it again. I didn't quite get to hear all of it because most of it was set at the dinner table after we got done. We all met to have dinner somewhere, so wasn't able to get most of it in, quite absorb all of it. But Brother David had went through another deliverance session, and Brother Kyle had sat in with the minister and was able to discern some things, and I'm just going to let them go. I don't know, gentlemen, if you have worked out how you're going to do this yet or not, but we're just going to let the Holy Spirit go, and I'm looking forward to listening to you guys' testimony. So go right ahead, one of you.
Okay, all right. You can go ahead, David.
Well, Ralph, you really gave me the inspiration to go through the deliverance the second time, because when we were up in Oklahoma City, you had mentioned that you had gone through deliverance three times, and the third time you discovered a lot of things that you had to get rid of. So that got me thinking that, well, everyone probably has to go through a second or third time just because they've accumulated a lot for their lifetime, and you only have a limited amount of time on that Monday deliverance session to actually get the demons out. So I really appreciate you for giving me encouragement to do so. And Brother Kyle, you're sitting in that deliverance with the deliverance preacher that night, and I really do appreciate that.
Yes.
Earlier that day, a group of us were up in the hotel room, and we're doing some physical deliverances on several people. And the group as a whole all agreed that you had a special spiritual sensitivity. And so when I was in the deliverance room, I was praying that you would be one of the ones that would sit in, because I wanted to get to the root of this one demonic spirit that's been plaguing us for the last few years. So I really appreciate that. And Pastor Cox, I really appreciate your ministry. I had one question about the door closing. If you've done the door closing prayer, do you have to do it again, or is that... Does that you do it once and it's good for you? Don't have to do it.
Well, parts of it ought to be like the generational curses that we break off in the door closing, David. Certain parts of it you wouldn't, but it depends on how long it's been since someone has done it. In those cases, I go through a little short. And then I ask the Lord to show them anyone they still need to forgive that they've overlooked, since that's really the most major of the 15 doors. And then there can be curses that someone has spoken over them since the last time they went through the door closing prayer. So there's a few odds and ends like that it's just a shorty that I usually do with someone when, you know, they're fairly current in it. If it's been 6 months or something, it's probably good to go through it again just to be sure you covered a lot of any loose ends.
Right. So I go on abundance of caution. So before we went to the Deliverance Church, I made sure I went through that door closing prayer. So really, really current on it. And so what also really started me thinking is the last couple times that we've been in the war room, either you or Richard or some other person was always mentioning the book Regions of Captivity. And there's one passage that really struck me on one of the pages that's talking about, it just says, The fire of hell traps both the just and the unjust. Anyone can be exposed to traumas, spells, and spiritual traps. They can also enter through fear and this is the important part, or by doing spiritual warfare without the proper understanding. Another cause is trying to bring the gospel to a territory controlled by the enemy. And that was, in my case, I was in doing spiritual warfare back in 2014 without the full understanding, and I got the blowback. So we got in a whole family got into a demonic hornet's nest by doing that, and I didn't have the knowledge in 2014 as I do now. So I exceeded my authority in prayer to break like a worldwide curse, and I believe in the Bible it's mentions several times of Jesus restricting the authority of the apostles in Matthew 10:5, he told the disciples, don't go into Samaria. But then in Acts 1:8, he said that once you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, then you'll be going to in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And then another passage that really struck me was in Numbers 14:42. This is after the Lord had told that they would have to wander in the desert for 40 years, and a group of Israelites decided to go into the Promised Land. And Moses told them, "Do not go up, or you will not, or you will be struck down before your enemies. For the Lord is not among you." So this is what really has been working on me: is you have to have the proper authority going up against the demonic realm. You have to know what you're doing. And so
well, the good news is, I might inject, Brother David. The good news is, we're under the blessings of the new covenant now. We're on this side of the cross. And so like Luke 10:19, that does say we have all power. This is Jesus saying it. We have all power over the enemy and nothing will harm us. And so with these, the New Testament and the new covenant, praise God, we go forward right and left. But you have to learn who you are. Stand on who you are, and then declare it and move in it.
Yes, yes, sir. You have to know how to use the sword to be effective. So that was my main thrust. Is we didn't know how to swing the sword and lift up the shield at that time, and we got impacted. So just before I begin, I just want to let in 2009, I mean, I believe then as I do now that Jesus is the Son of God. I confess that Jesus came in the flesh, and I was baptized in Branson, immersed under the water for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. That belief, confession, and baptism in 2009 and my wife's baptism in 2010 did not protect us in 2014 when we were attacked by some demonic forces, when we were engaging in some spiritual warfare. I mean, so we got hit, but I mean, it's a learning process. So we definitely are getting smarter and being able to wield that the power of the Spirit. So in just to recap, in August of 2014, went to Ireland, and a woman at the bed and breakfast gave us a local County of Meath visitor's guide. And in the back, there was a two-page activity listing for the celebration of Halloween. And Halloween over there is celebrated over a two-week time span. And it was stated in that guide that the hill of Tlactica was a birthplace of Halloween. So they have a lot of ceremonies in that area. The next day, we just packed up. We had some anointing oil, and we went out to find that spot in order to break the worldwide Halloween curse. And this place is connected to the Bible in two different ways. The hill is named after the daughter of a sorcerer called Mug Roith, who, according to the Irish writings, ancient ones, he was the one that beheaded John the Baptist in payment for one of Herodias' daughters. And Mug Roith was a pupil under Simon Magnus, who was in Acts 8, tried to buy the Holy Spirit from the Apostle Peter. So Simon's three sons end up raping Tlactica, and she goes back to Ireland and gives birth on that hill. And from that hill, so that hill has a pretty wicked foundation. And from there, it's spread out throughout the earth. So we finally got there, we prayed inside the car, and then we got to the hill, put some anointing oil on it, prayed, and then we returned to the car and did some more prayers. And the fireworks really started about a month after we returned from home. Outward, it was my son that was the most impacted, and no amount of prayers was working. So this led us into my first deliverance session in 2015. And Pastor Cox, you had mentioned that it's suggested that the parents go through first before the children. And so we trying to follow that route. We did the online deliverances that you have on your website before going to Oklahoma City. And in the 2015 deliverance, I had lots of yawns, even after doing the online one. But this one in April really surprised myself just by the reaction that I had. It also surprised my deliverance minister, because he was the same one that was connected to 2015 deliverance. So it was interesting to see his reaction as well. And Kyle, I think you had a
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was surprising to you, because it happened suddenly, almost instantly. And
yeah.
And so the about a month ago in April, we went up to Oklahoma City, and I specifically wanted to deal with the Ireland spirit from the Halloween side. I felt within me that it was there, and I was at the root, or one of the roots of the problem. So I was, this time around, I was more mentally and spiritually prepared for the battle. I was really determined to get it out. And I had to, like I said, I said the door closing prayer, did a lot of repentance, and during the war room, during the praise and worship, I was really crying out to the Lord at that time, just really trying to get my spirit prepared. And so then it was deliverance time with the deliverance minister and Kyle. And Kyle, I believe that you have
Who worked with you, David? I've forgotten now who your minister was.
It was Gerald.
Gerald, I believe it was.
Yeah. Yes.
It was who?
Gerald.
Gerald? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, you had some differences back at your house.
Okay.
And what?
Some of the things that I was, at the time that David was being delivered, I was the junior minister, with Mr. Gerald being the senior minister. And David was having a lot of difficulty expressing what was going on, even trying to get to some of those deeper demonic roots to find out what the problem could be, because one of the things that we do find with deliverance is that you could think it's one thing and it could be a totally other thing. And one of the strongholds this particular Irish demon had is that it wouldn't allow David to speak. It was just making him shiver. It was really, controlling him in a very bad way. And with David unable to speak, just by me laying the hands on him and praying with him and everything like this, there was the senses that the Holy Spirit was like telling me what were some of the spiritual strongholds that were afflicting David at this time. And just during prayer, and just like my eyes closed and praying, speaking in tongues, the thing that was starting to come to me, because David kept saying a stop sign. And then I had no understanding about, how big Halloween was in Ireland, or the origins or the roots or anything like that. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me is that the connections that were the strongholds for David was, there was an Irish curse that was put on by his lineage. And I mean, and just knowing David, with the Gideon Elite and the Oklahoma men's group, I do know like he has an Irish last name. And it was starting to like put the pieces together that there was an Irish contract with most Irish people, and when they do return back to Ireland and they go seek this thing, it finally completes the circle of the contract, and it gives the legal right for these demons to do the kind of torment that they do to him. And we just kept praying it, and once we found that root, we just kept praying it out in Jesus' name, speaking tongues and everything. And David found great relief, and I'm thrilled about that. And I just wanted to ask, how's your family doing with your wife and your son? I mean, are they doing okay?
Well, David? we had some great relief. There's still some areas to work at, because not only was that a spiritual route, as I started to research some of the other places that we went to, there are several other places that I definitely have to do some more self deliverance, because that was, when you go back to Ireland, Jesus had said that if you love father and mother more than you than you're not fit, or because in Ireland, I mean, you just, it's almost there's a lot of really ancient landmarks that right. are, I mean, based in demonology. So, So I've been learning that I need to fix a lot of those.
Yeah.
But during the deliverance session, it was pretty interesting to hear your take, Brother Kyle. Go ahead.
The other thing I wanted to say was, because I know after the deliverance, the Holy Spirit spoke to me if you had any relics or anything you brought back from Ireland. And I know that you shared it with me, you know, through an email, that you did bring back that particular watch that had the Gaelic type of art on the back of it that you tried to scrape off. And I know I think you spoke through the men's group that you actually got rid of it. Did that kind of help you with, you know, eliminating a lot of that right too? Because anything like you'll take from an area that would have that spiritual significance, you give it right. But if, like, you get rid of those particular items, you release that right. And that was one of the things I did remember that came from me when we were having the deliverance.
Right. So that watch was, I was at a souvenir shop. I was trying to find a simple watch, and they all had these designs. So the design that was on that watch were, it's, if you look at the Mitsubishi car sign, it's like three triangles joined together. But in this case, it was three Vesica Pisces joined together. A Vesica Pisces is like two circles of equal size, and you take the center point and touch the outside of each, and it creates two parentheses together. And so instead of diamonds, you had the Vesica Pisces. So each Vesica, of this symbol, which is called a triquarta, is made up of six circles. And the watch had three of those on it, so like 666 on it. But in Ireland, that's not the origination of that symbol. It actually comes from the Vikings' Bolknot, which is a symbol of Odin. It also means slain warrior. It also, I think in Scandinavia, it talks about the Scandinavian hell. And so it has a really, really bad symbol. So I was basically carrying around something that says slain warrior and directing it down to the pits of hell, and to a foreign god, Odin. So I tried to take it off. So I end up throwing the symbol off into a river. And then I threw the actual watch body away, and we found a great relief for about a half a day. But we visited several other sites. One was Samhain in Ireland. Uh-huh. It's Hill of Tara. There's is the mountain top for the ancient kings of Ireland. It's 142 kings ruled in that area, and there's a portal tomb. There's like 176 portal tombs in Ireland, pointing to different stars or sunrises. And this one points to the sunrise on October 31st. So Samhain. So the Irish believe that that's the time when the spirit world is very close to reality, and so they do a lot of human sacrifices at that time, at least at the time frame that we're talking about in ancient times. So that's really connected with a lot of human sacrifice, a lot of blood spilt on the earth. And so I was just going there putting my oily hands, anointing all these places, mm-hmm. and these places are ancient places. I mean, because right. if you look up online, some of them date back to 4000 BC, and if you look in the Masoretic Bible, like the King James, the flood of Noah was about 2500 BC. And if you look at mm-hmm. Septuagint, it's about 3500 BC. So either way you take it, you're talking about an ancient monument that was before the flood,
right.
which means you're talking about the fallen angels, you're talking about the giants, and the
watchers,
even in the...
Yeah.
Right, right. So if you look at
all of that country, European continent, and of course Africa, and all those areas over there, by comparison to us here in Oklahoma and in the U.S., they've all got history behind them. I've been to Israel before, and it's older. You can about anywhere you walk, there'll be stuff coming, stuck in the soil, pottery and things, just all around. From those centuries that went by, people living there and then living on there again, and so many of them, of course, the demonic is widespread everywhere because people learn from the demons. Even various tribes back in the jungles that had no other connection, they'll always have a witch doctor, and it's the demons uh-huh. teach them. I've run into that before in ministry, that people were into witchcraft, and I figured they were in a coven or something, and I'd say, well, how'd you learn all this witchcraft? And the person would say, the demons taught me. So it's widespread. But praise God for our Jesus. Amen. And the power we have in his name.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
But go ahead. This is really interesting, David.
Yeah, gentlemen, I want to interject something here that you guys may touch on this, and be sure to mention if you were thinking about it. One thing that we had learned in Oklahoma City that weekend was the making sure that you forbid transference. That lesson was taught to us several times that weekend, and I think that's probably where David was saying that he came there acting out of his authority. So I think so much acting out of his authority, I think it was more acting with ignorance of how he should be using the tools, because he was talking about how he was praying that God would do it all. He was taking back items and relics with them, touching things, and didn't understand the forbidding of transference, which is something that that we are starting to learn. But that's kind of one of the things I wanted to mention.
Giving place to the devil,
to the devil. Yes. And so that's kind of where we were growing and learning. That Brother David went into it unprepared and untrained, and being that he's went through the Marine Corps, he's probably seeing a lot of things there where they don't throw you out into the war before you go through boot camp, and he pretty much went to the war before he went through boot camp. go ahead, brothers. I just kind of wanted to interject that there, and I'll sit back and continue listening.
One of the things that you just mentioned, Ralph, and it just came to me, was out of the Book of Samuel. I don't know if it was one or two, but it was Saul that ended up taking the treasures that the Lord told him not to do when he defeated an enemy. And by breaking that commandment, he ended up having the tormenting spirits put upon him that only David's harp could actually, like, soothe. And that just does kind of show you, like, sometimes when you do go to these different places and do that, leave the treasures behind and walk away. Because that was just one of the things that, like, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me right now.
Good point. Good point.
Right, and I think also is don't go sightseeing where there's a lot of demonic history for that area. I mean, so if you're going to go see these monuments, those ancient sites that are tied to human sacrifices, that's probably not the smart thing to do. I mean, that's for me, looking back at it, it's probably a Christian shouldn't be engaged in sightseeing past human sacrifice areas, I mean, unless you're spirit led to go and anoint it. So that's something that came to me as I had experienced this. But on the other side is in the book of Esther, Mordecai tells Esther that if she didn't go to the king, then God would raise someone else to do it to save the people. So Jesus could have had another person ready to go, wanting to go to anoint those sites, but it didn't happen. So God's plan always goes through, and we just were in the enemy territories, and we had the anointing oil, and we had the unction to go do it, and so we did it. And I'm not sure what the ramifications of it was. I mean, it may have had to happen that year, that time, before Halloween, that those sites had to be anointed. So I'm taking that we were over there for that specific reason, because we hadn't planned on doing it beforehand. I saw the visitor's guide the night before, and we just went off and did it the next day. And I'm taking that as a leading of the Holy Spirit. We had to anoint that those places.
David, if you had been speaking Luke 10:19 out loud as you went around doing that, which is the one where we have all power in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that nothing shall by any means harm us. Well, you know, when you speak the word, it performs itself. Demons do not want to hear that. We see that all the time. They take people's hands up over their ears when we're quoting Luke 10:19. So it's a fantastic scripture that gives us the base to speak out, and the word will perform itself. It won't return void.
Yes, and I wish I would have known that back at that time. Life would have been a little bit easier. But it really, that really propelled us into deliverance, and it really has propelled us to go deeper and study more into the deliverance of ministry, because just the April deliverance was just, I mean, totally over the top of anything I experienced, because the first part of the deliverance, the minister was trying to do the head demon technique to see what was there, and my eyes were closed. I could just see just blackness and just nothing. No voices, no words, no impressions, nothing. I mean, it was going trying to pull it out, and nothing was coming out. And so then he started using the Charles Crafts birth up method, allowing the Holy Spirit to take you and identify events that may have opened doors, cause for demons. And so he was bringing me up through the various ages from birth to present. And Kyle, at this point, you stopped the minister several times, saying that, well, there's a, I'm seeing something over here. And so I would, yes. Okay, that's elementary school, had to deal with something in the elementary school, something in high school. So you're yes. Correctly just listening to the Holy Spirit, and I guess pictures or thoughts or words were coming into
yes.
into your mind, and that was yes. really helpful. And I can see why Jesus sent out disciples two by two, because when you have two people, they each have different gifts. And so your insight was super valuable, and so I ended up getting a lot of the items that I needed to get out before I tackled the big one. So when we got up to 2014, I felt that I was under a dome of opaque glass that
right.
you can't really see through. It's like smeared by Vaseline. So when he asked me anything in my 2014, then I saw like an island outside of the glass, and I perceived that it was Ireland. And mm-hmm. so then he asked, okay, well, where in Ireland? And then I had taken this picture of this Telactica, the Hill of Telactica, And in it, it showed the steps up over the wall that you have to go through, but it also had a stop sign with green moss on it. And that really struck me when I was over in Ireland, because that was the only stop sign I had seen in that area or on the entire island that had a green moss on it. And that really, so I had seen that picture many times before, mm-hmm. but when the Holy Spirit identifies something, it really put a spotlight on it. And once I saw it, then I instantly felt a wave of uncontrollable emotion come over me. I had to admit I was kind of fighting not to sob, because I didn't want to cry in front of the other men. but I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't. but I just couldn't. I couldn't prevent it. I mean, it was just just uncontrollable, and it was instant. I saw that picture come into my mind, and then instantly it was just like the Holy Spirit had the bright beam spotlight on that one demon, and I couldn't speak. I mean, I was sobbing, kind of emotional. I was finally able to utter that it was a spirit of Halloween, and it was like, it is fight time. You know, the bell goes off, and it's time to rumble. And so I was leaning forward. I had like snot coming out of my mouth, out of my nose. I had tears coming out. And at some point, someone had brought a trash can and some Kleenex over, I guess, just in case I had an eruption. But I started shaking all over. My arms started shaking, my legs. I had a goose pimple sensation, like wave just continually going, sweeping over me. And I know that I was commanding it. In the war room session, they were saying, well, you have to be an active participant. I mean, if you're going through deliverance, you have to hate it. You want it out of your body. Your temple is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's no place for the devil. So you have to hate it. You have to command it out. You have to blow. Yeah, you have to do your part in a deliverance session, not just rely on a deliverance minister to do all the work. So I was commanding it to come out, and the minister was reading in the book of Revelation, the fall of Babylon. And then, Kyle, you were commanding it out. You had the Bible over on my back, but it wasn't being repulsed. I mean, because I could feel the Bible on my back, but it was it's still having that goosebump pimple sensation waves coming over me. I was still shaking, and it was a pretty strong one. So I'm not sure how long it was.
It was about 10-15 minutes, and I remember when I was doing it was working through your back, and it was going into your thighs and then into your calf muscles until it finally kind of like left back into the earth. And because we put it by your calf muscles.
Right. So it slowly went down, and then when it got to below my knees, then that's when it's not to go out, because there's a generational curse. And I wasn't sure if it was the Mother Roy's beheading of John the Baptist, because they believe that there's a curse on Ireland because of that, or if it's because my family has a pirate queen, descended from like a pirate queen, or if it's just another generational curse, but I wasn't taking a chance. I was renouncing. I was repenting of all those. Any generational curse, that I was just trying to repent and renounce and rebuke and just command it out. So you the Bible between my legs, and it mm-hmm. slowly started to go down, and then got to my feet, and you put the Bible on my feet, and then it finally, and so, doctor then tried to do the head demon technique again to see if there's any other ones, and there it still seemed like I was in like a dome. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I didn't hear anything, but I start seeing lights like on the other side of the
yeah.
dome. So when he would ask a question, I didn't hear a word or see a picture. What I see is like a bluish white light. There were some writings,
right.
but it was like I couldn't make out the writings. But it's like a bluish white light was a symbol for yes, and a bloody red light was symbol for no. So he
yeah.
asked various questions, and I started getting blue light, red light, blue light, red light, and so that he had mentioned that he had never come across such that was seeing lights, and so that was strange to me. So that kind of brought into my thoughts that there is probably some other places that we have to announce in the book of Enoch. There's it lists like 24 of the leaders of the fallen angels, of the watchers. So
right,
just to show that the giants were offspring of them. And then the demons, according to the book of Enoch, is the giants were part human and part spirit. So when the giant body died, the spirit came out and became demons. So I started to I started rebuking in the book of Enoch. I started yawning because of that. Because if just like the head demon technique, the leaders are the fathers. Forefathers of all the demons that came after, and so I got some yawns at that point. I started to do the health deliverance on several of the places that we went to, and I started getting yawns, and so I think I still have to finish the deliverance, just because I mean we must have struck a nerve on the spiritual world. For some reason, we got identified. So
yeah.
it was just fantastic that you were there and you were able to use your insight to help the deliverance process go forward. So just using the technique that Pastor Cox has in his book. And it's definitely a way to fight back and really take charge. And the thing I just really stress is don't be passive in your deliverance. If you want that out, then you have to command it out, and you have to do your part. Just not be passive.
Engage.
Sit back and yes.
Yeah. Well, are you seeing changes in your life after all that ministry, David?
Yes.
How are you now?
In fact, when I came back after doing that powerful session, there was a tension at work between several people, my boss and several other people. I mean, I would bless all these people, I would repent of any animosity I had towards them, there was always a tension that I felt that like the air was weighted. And after the deliverance session, it was as if it went away. I mean, it wasn't there. There's no tension between those people at work anymore. And
praise God.
Another thing that I noticed was when I was walking down the hall, my footsteps are lighter. So apparently when I had the spirit, I was really driving my heel down on the floor. I had but now when I'm walking, it's much quieter. So I thought that was a physical sign of something happened, and it was a true blessing. I mean, it's just a confirmation, and so I think it's definitely has really helped, definitely with the interpersonal relationships at work, and so just like anything, there wasn't enough time on that Monday to go further. just because of time-wise, but it did give me a lot of insight on where to take the battle to. There's just even more wicked sites that we visited besides the Hill of Tlaxcala, the birthplace of Halloween. I'm on the hunt right now to go and do self-deliverance on all the rest of the sites.
Yeah, you can do self-deliverance. A lot of people do that, and you've got enough base under you to probably continue the process, David. You're on to them.
I mean, I'm not letting go, and also just we're also engaging with all the spirits that may have been also attacking as well. So we're on the hunt for them, and we're not letting go. So it's like anything. I mean, if you just give up after the first time, you not see the total victory. You have to go forth and just keep on working on it. Keep on working on it in order to get everything clean, because you took many decades to acquire them. So it may take some more than one time to get them out, just like Brother Ralph experienced with the 3 deliverances and myself with the 2 deliverances. So it's not a condemnation on the process. It just takes time, and it takes the person's effort to go forth and be free. But at the end
of
the process,
somebody explained it to me. I'm sorry, Everett. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just going to say every case is different. We do see many people set free in one session. It just kind of depends. You know, everyone is different, and their involvements and their backgrounds and what's going on is different. And some are easier, some are more complicated, and that's just the way, that's what we run into constantly. We get a certain number free in one evening, but then some have to come back, and you just stay at it till you've got the total victory, and praise God you are.
Praise the Lord.
Praise Jesus.
Well, gentlemen, we're getting towards the end of the show here. One thing I wanted to say is that sometimes it's explained to me that deliverance sometimes can be like an onion. As you start peeling back layers, more layers are exposed. And obviously, if you're an active member in the body of Christ and you are out after the enemy, there's going to be more things that are going to be coming at you. You're going to be a larger target. Again, we have all power over the power of the enemy, Luke 10:19. And I just wanted to read this real quick, Ecclesiastes 4:9, when talking about sending out the apostles and two, their disciples, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor, for if either of them falls, one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when one is not there to lift him up. And then the other verse I want to read just a little bit further down is 4:12. And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. So it is real. There is a lot of advantages to having an extra person with you. We've talked about over the years the Scripture for America, the need for a prayer partner. Of course, when it's you and the Holy Spirit, that's two. That's plenty enough. But, gentlemen, I do appreciate you both coming on this evening. Powerful, powerful testimony. I really enjoyed hearing it. And our brother David has gone through some advanced training, so we can all learn. I know that many times the Lord will put us through things so other people can learn, and he definitely has gone through it. We can stand upon the promises of Romans 8:28. God works all things out for good, and he is definitely working us out for good because many members of the body are learning from this. But I do believe we're out of time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and have yourself a good evening.
God bless you all.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope.
has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone, just like a heart.